Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Politics. Peyton. Civil liberties have been violated. Midland Mayor says pandemic mandates and closures destroy lives. By Stuart Doran. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton said during a press conference Wednesday that not only will he not seek a mask mandate in Midland, but that people's civil liberties have been violated during the coronavirus pandemic. Peyton blasted the mask mandates he's seen and said he believes they are filled with exceptions. He also spoke out against the governor's closing of bars as being selective in nature. He stated bars should have every right that restaurants have to operate within proper safety measures. When we start picking and choosing what we think is healthy and essential, we destroy livelihoods and we even destroy lives, Peyton said. Peyton took offense with the mandates and ongoing pressure to further mandate the actions of people. In the midst of this panic associated with the unknown, we have demonstrated how easily we will succumb to the king when we cannot control something or do not feel like we are safe, Peyton said. In less than 1 week, the kings and queens of Washington, D.C., and even Austin, shut the entire country down uniformly and in some cases unnecessarily. We are still dealing with a virus, for sure. Are there any solutions? Not at all. But free Americans must not so easily allow a fractions, divided, and politically motivated body of values, lightweights, to dictate day-to-day living to a degree it kills people economically, socially, and even physically. Peyton spoke for around 10 minutes and then took questions. He said he is comfortable in his convictions and quite comfortable with whatever his conviction might cost me politically. He was critical of closing down businesses because of some arbitrary designation of essential versus non-essential, all while essential businesses sell the same products the non-essential businesses used to sell. He spoke out against the right of people to worship and the mandates that families cannot properly mourn the loss of their loved ones. When we are jumping through hoops with exceptions and explanations, we are not serving the people. We are controlling and manipulating the people, Peyton said. Until I am overruled by a vote of the city council, I will not mandate the wearing a mask, for I will not become party to a city that is policing and citing the general public for not wearing a mask. A mandate by the governor is enforceable, as is any mandate here in Midland. Not to mention, we have already come too close to trampling city liberties in the ways we have treated businesses and the way we have treated a free people. The mayor said that while he will not support a mask mandate, he is deeply committed to a community call to action regarding our safety with masks in public. Free people know the right things to do and are prepared to live with the consequences of their actions, Peyton said. A people living in tyranny, freely give their rights away to an empty promise of provision and protection. Out here in West Texas, we still believe in the power of free people, even when we can't see the enemy. Following is the text from which Mayor Patrick Peyton read during a press conference Wednesday. Since we last spoke alongside the hospital, I thought it appropriate to take a few minutes and reinforce the path I am advocating as we continue dealing with the ongoing battle against COVID-19. I will not be issuing any new initiatives or mandates that are in addition to what I have done and what I will continue to do. This does not mean members of City Council are precluded from introducing mask mandates or other requirements they might believe necessary based on their own convictions and policy values. But for me, I will not be a support of a mask mandate, but I am deeply committed to a community call to action regarding our safety with masks in public. There are still three things we are all free to responsibly practice to protect ourselves and one another during these difficult days we face. Those three things continue to be wearing a mask when in public. Until I am overruled by a vote of the City Council, I will not mandate the wearing a mask, for I will not become party to a city that is policing and citing the general public for not wearing a mask. A mandate by the governor is unenforceable, as is any mandate here in Midland. Not to mention, we have already come too close to trampling civil liberties in the ways we have treated businesses and the way we have treated a free people. I do hope that businesses will have their employees in mask when interacting with the public. My hope is the community sense of responsibility is intense enough that we all do something that many of us do not like and wear masks in public places where social distancing is not possible, or in the company of friends and family where we are in agreement about what we are doing for one another. Another point I am sure many will disagree with. At the very outset of this epidemic, I was told over and over again that I had to issue a stay-at-home order. The mask mandates being issued throughout most of the cities and countries of our state are just like the stay-at-home orders issued in the early days of this matter. Filled with exceptions as vague as for reasons of personal health, whether it is a stay-at-home order or a mask order, it will still boil down to personal responsibility and care for one another. The second and third practice we are all familiar with, 2 and 3, social distancing and hand washing. They speak for themselves, and we know what to do. On a note of clarity, I am very disappointed in the selective nature of closing bars. I believe bars should have every right that restaurants have to operate within proper safety measures. Unfortunately, this is a matter that bar owners will have to deal with as the licensing department of the state is out and about ready to issue cease and desist orders and even pull liquor licenses. Once again, when we start picking and choosing what we think is healthy and essential, we destroy livelihoods and we even destroy lives. It has become very clear over the last month that everyone is getting very stressed and worried and fearful in this season we are having to endure. Nerves are frayed, tensions are high, fear is high, and there are very few answers to be found in the black hole of information. My email is filled with very little of anything other than vitriol, hate, and worry. Nevertheless, I am not making my decision about masking based on the Republican Party, any special interests, or the most heated emails. This is my personal leadership conviction, and I am more than willing to stand on it or even to lose on it. I still believe in the goodness of the free people of Midland and the basin to do right things by their neighbors and for their neighbor. My faith in what we can do as a community is only possible because of what I saw us do in March, April, and most of May. We know that we have to do, and we must go ahead and do it. But let's be clear, until there is a vaccine, which will be an entirely new debate on the merits and mandates of a vaccine, or we get to some form of herd immunity, another step I'm not sure we have the stomach to work through, we will be bouncing back and forth through this trampoline of tension and worry, masking, hygiene, and distancing, all in the midst of an onslaught of national media hysteria on both sides. I personally will not endorse the ongoing pressure to further mandate the actions of people. I am comfortable with this conviction and quite comfortable with whatever this conviction might cost me politically. Over the last several months, we have not just come dangerously close to violating civil liberties, we have violated civil liberties. Closing down businesses because of some arbitrary designation of essential versus non-essential, all while essential businesses sell the same products the non-essential businesses used to sell. Shutting down the right of people to worship. Mask ordinances around the state are allowing exceptions to places of worship, but you can't go tubing in the great outdoors or stand outside on a patio with your friends and have a beer. Mandating that families cannot properly mourn the loss of their loved ones. When we are jumping through hoops with exceptions and explanations, we are not serving the people. We are controlling and manipulating the people. In the midst of this panic associated with the unknown, we have demonstrated how easily we will succumb to the king. When we cannot control something or do not feel like we are safe. In less than 1 week, the kings and queens of Washington, D.C., and even Austin shut the entire country down uniformly and in some cases unnecessarily. Are we still dealing with the virus? For sure. Are there easy solutions? Not at all. But free Americans must not so easily allow a fraction's divided and politically motivated body of values, lightweights, to dictate day-to-day living to a degree it kills people economically, socially, and even physically. Free people know the right things to do and are prepared to live with the consequences of their actions. A people living in tyranny, freely give their rights away to an empty promise of provision and protection. Out here in West Texas, we still believe in the power of a free people, even when we can't see the enemy. Housing. Realtor. Buyers Return to Welcoming Market by Stuart Doran. Midland's real estate veteran, Victoria Prince, remembers being in the office on March 9th, one of the more significant days of in Midland housing sales downturn. On that day, stocks cratered and crude prices tumbled 25%. The impact of that day, along with the impending coronavirus pandemic, set the stage for negative oil prices and a housing sales period as bad as Prince can remember. "I had 20 transactions fall apart," Prince said of the March 9th crash. What followed were 2 closings in April and 9 closings in May, she said. Prince said she averages between 25 to 45 closings during those months. The market wasn't kind to many realtors in Midland during those months. There were 156 sales in April and 150 in May across Midland County, numbers that were down more than 100 year over year. The May number was the lowest since the Texas A&M Real Estate Center started keeping track in 2011. With sales down, inventory spiked, hitting 885 at the end of May, according to A&M. Prince said this week the number of total homes has been reduced by more than 10%. As the rebound in the home sales has started. Prince said her own numbers turned around with 23 closings in June. There are that many scheduled for July and 4 on the books in August. She said once the wave of layoffs ended and the market began to settle, people became more comfortable with buying. Instead of being stuck inside their homes, people started looking again. Although the market has changed, the A&M Center showed an increase of more than 300 in inventory in Midland between February and May. That means more options for buyers, more time the average property will stay on the market, fewer multiple bid situations, and a drop in price. A&M Real Estate showed that the median price for a home sold dropped from $315,000 in March to $285,000 in May. The trend during the last decade was for the price to climb during that same time period. Prince said that the median price has stayed at about $285,000, which would be close to a $20,000 decrease year over year. Things are selling where the last part of March and April it was a ghost town, says Prince, who added that historically low interest rates and the availability of homes not seen since 2016 make it a great time to buy. The industry has changed too. Shaking hands and hugging have given way to adhering to CDC guidelines. Large open houses also are out. Still, Prince said the normalcy of phone calls and busier communication lines have returned. That is music to her ears. Bynum's Fun in the Sun. The caption reads, "Parents drive their children around the Bynum School Drive Wednesday. counselors and volunteers wave and welcome them after the annual summer camp for Bynum students in Midland Children's Rehabilitation Center and MARC clients was canceled because of the coronavirus and was moved online. Small Bites. Ice Cream Shop Joins Downtown Micro Market by J.C. Lewis. The Micro Market is downtown Midland announced the opening of two new shops at 201 West Wall Street, according to Facebook posts. The Cousins Creamery opened Friday for a soft opening. The ice cream shop serves fresh bubble waffle cones with soft serve. The store's many flavors include Holland Road, which is a combination of toasted marshmallows, graham crumble, chocolate syrup, and Texas pecans. Kaysen's Basin appeals to the soft, salty, and sweet taste buds with pretzels, popcorn, chocolate, and caramel. The Very Berry Bennett features blueberries, strawberries, and graham crumble. Nash's Stash has everything a sweet tooth desires with cotton candy, M&Ms, Swedish fish, sour worms, and rainbow sparkles. The shop is open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., Wednesday through Saturday. The Four Dolls Boutique will be opening sometime this summer. The online boutique's new location is under construction. The online store can be viewed at fourdollsonline.com. The Micro Market is home to Velvet Mesquite Designs, Coco Bananas Boutique, Corporal Ray's Coffee, and K. Renee's Salon. The renovated Jumburrito will open July 20th at 908 South Midkiff Road. The store will be open for drive-through, call-in, and curbside services, founder and president Jose Cuevas said in an email. Jumburrito Restaurant's dining area will remain closed throughout the summer, but as the coronavirus situation evolves, that might change, he said. The chain is also exploring delivery service options at this time. The Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center is serving Sunday brunch at the Barrel and Derrick. The brunch menu will feature danishes and muffins from their bakery. People can choose from the display with lox and bagel chips, Gardini salad, potato salad, and more. The chef stations will feature slow-roasted prime rib, honey maple glazed baked ham, and made-to-order omelets. Other menu items include smoked bacon and chicken applesauce, buttermilk pancakes, pecan croissant, French toast, house-herbed crispy potato wedges, blackened catfish, fried chicken, chicken and sausage, jambalaya, cavatappi primavera alfredo, and mashed potatoes. Adults are $34, kids 12 and under are $17, seniors are $28, one-serving takeout orders are $25, mimosas are $7, Bloody Mary Whale are $10, and Bloody Mary Call are $12. Brunch will be served from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Reservations are not required, but recommended, and can be made at 635-5803. Odessa will be getting an HTO off of East Ridge Road and Billy Hicks Road. RRC Construction posted its Facebook page that the company has started dirt work for the new building. For more information, available at facebook.com/HTEAO Odessa. Coronavirus cases in Midland fall by 1/3, by Stuart Doran. The number of single-day coronavirus cases dropped by 1/3 on Wednesday, according to the Midland Health Department. It was a drop from a single-day record high of 50 on Tuesday to 33. Along with that decrease, the health department reported the number of people who have recovered jumped from 156 to 169. That means of the 734 total cases during the pandemic, 565 cases are still considered active. Of the cases confirmed Wednesday, 9, or more than 27%, are people in the 30 to 39 age range. The source of exposure for the most cases on Wednesday was community transmission, 18 of 33. The 20 to 29 age range and contract to a known case remain the leaders in their respective categories. To date, 60 more women have tested positive and 524 patients are still considered at home isolating. Coronavirus report. Day over day. Total cases. Tuesday, 50. Wednesday, 33. Total, 734. Gender, male, 337. Female, 397. Age range, 0 to 19. Tuesday was 79. Wednesday, 84. 20 to 29. Tuesday, 215. Wednesday, 221. Age, 30 to 39. Tuesday, 132. Wednesday, 141. 40 to 49. Tuesday, 92. Wednesday, 97. 50 to 59 age range. Tuesday, 77. Wednesday, 80. 60 to 69. Tuesday, 49. Wednesday, 53. Age range, 70 to 79. Tuesday, 31. Wednesday, 31. 80 plus. Tuesday, 27. Wednesday, 27. Patient status. Home isolations on Tuesday, 503. Wednesday, 524. Recovered, Tuesday, 156. Wednesday, 169. Death, Tuesday, 15. Wednesday, 15. Hospital, Tuesday, 20. Wednesday, 19. Nursing rehab, Tuesday, 7. Wednesday, 7. Source of exposure, contact to a known case, Tuesday, 316, Wednesday, 326. Community transmission, Tuesday, 258, Wednesday, 276. Travel related, Tuesday, 119, Wednesday, 124. Under investigation, Tuesday, 8, Wednesday, 8. Mask requirements in Midland. Businesses that require customers and workers to wear face masks or facial coverings. HEB will require customers to wear a mask at all of its locations. The store has made exceptions for children and individuals with health-related issues. Starbucks corporate policy requires customers to wear masks. Dairy Queen corporate policy requires customers to wear masks at all Midland locations. Panera Bread corporate policy requires customers to wear masks. Barnes & Noble's, the district manager distributed signage saying face covering required to enter the store. Wingstop, the restaurant is requiring face masks to enter. The dine-in area is still closed to the public. Wolfgang Bakery corporate policy requires everyone to wear mask. Urgent orthopedic specialist, the doctor's office is requiring clients to wear face mask and facial coverings. The staff has been wearing face mask. Vision health specialist, the business is requiring face mask for customers and staff members. Big Sky Drive-In, the theater requires that customers wear face mask before entering the concession area. Vision Health Specialist, the business is requiring face mask for customers and staff members. Big Sky Drive-In, the theater requires the customers wear face mask before entering the concessions area. Businesses that recommend face mask. Best Buy. Customers are now allowed in stores and are asked to wear face mask or face coverings, but they are not required. The number of customers inside will be limited by store size according to their website. Target corporate office is recommending customers wear face mask, but it's not required to enter the store. Offices that require mask. Mask requirements. City Hall. All employees and visitors shall wear face coverings, mask when entering and moving about in the common areas of City Hall. Common areas are identified as corridors, hallways, lobbies, and elevators. MSS. Midland Shared Spaces. Visitors, clients, and tenant employees will be requested to wear a mask as in all common spaces of the building. Ector County reports 9th death. MCH to open floor for coronavirus patients by J.C. Lewis. The Ector County Health Department reported the 9th death of an Ector County resident from coronavirus, according to a press release. The patient was a 57-year-old man who died Tuesday night at a Fort Worth hospital. Medical Center Health System CEO and President Russell Tippin said the 8th floor of MCH will be converted to treat coronavirus patients. The MCH will be going on a diversion status for out-of-county transfers, he said. Any elective surgeries that require an overnight stay will be suspended during this time. The government has mandated that hospitals keep 15% of their occupancy available, he said. MCHS Public Relations Director Trevor Tankersley said the hospital is treating 33 patients. 23 are on the isolation floor, and 10 patients are in critical care. Of these patients, 3 are from focused care in Odessa, one of whom is on a ventilator. One patient is from Andrews. 2 patients are from Ward Memorial Hospital. One is from McCamey, and one is from the Big Bend area. The hospital has taken 3,970 tests with 356 positive results, 2,191 negative results, and 550 pending results. Odessa Regional Medical Center CEO and President Stacy Brown said ORMC is treating 9 patients. 3 are on ventilators. 2 patients were discharged on Tuesday, and the hospital admitted 1 on Wednesday. She said the hospital has taken 810 tests with 95 positive results, 555 negative results, and 160 pending results. 8 employees are currently not working because they contracted coronavirus from outside of the hospital, Dr. Rohith Saravana said. Ector County has 670 confirmed coronavirus cases and 374 probable cases. Total tests taken are 8,602, with 6,032 negative results and 1,562 pending tests. Ector County reported that 388 people have recovered and 3,224 people have been contact traced. The health department is hiring for contact tracing jobs. To apply, go to the ECHD website. Museum of the Southwest cancels Septemberfest Long Concerts by J.C. Lewis. The Museum of the Southwest has canceled Septemberfest and Summer Sunday Long Concert series because of the coronavirus pandemic. But the museum, which has not yet reopened, will be offering other programming according to a press release. The concerts were canceled because staff is unable to create a plan that would meet minimum CDC or state health and safety recommendations, according to the release. Septemberfest, the museum's largest fundraising event, was canceled because of the economic conditions as well as uncertainty over the virus, making it difficult to plan the event, according to the release. Exhibitions will continue, and the Turner Memorial Art Museum will be reopened soon. The museum will limit admissions. Tickets must be purchased online in advance. Masks will be required for all visitors and staff during public hours. Exhibitions schedule is as followed. Midland Arts Association Spring Juried Show online through Sunday. Lonesome Dove mid-July through September 27th. Lenny Buscemi mid-July through August 9th. John Flaming early October through January 24th. Cynthia Gutierrez Crap, August 21 through November 8th. Education programs will continue online. Staff is planning scheduled family programs both online and in limited group face-to-face format when possible. There will be no drop-in children's activities on the museum campus. The Kentucky Derby viewing party is scheduled for September 5th. It will be a ticketed event with limited admissions and will take place on the lawn with social distancing guidelines. Christmas at the Mansion is still on the schedule for December, according to the release. Want to help? For more information about donating to the museum, visit museumsw.org/donate. MOSC names interim executive director. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale Board of Directors on Wednesday appointed Ethan Wills as interim executive director, according to a press release. He will replace retiring executive director Jeanette Kolakoff, who has been with the organization since November 2012. Wills will be responsible for overseeing the staff, musicians, and financial resources of MOSC. Wills was chosen for his experience with music, education, and administration in West Texas over the past 6 years, according to the release. Before joining MOSC, Wills was a freelance musician and music educator with Midland ISD, Midland Christian School, Trinity School, and Ector County ISD. He has degrees in music, education, and music performance, and is working toward his PhD in Fine Arts Administration at Texas Tech University. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale's 2020-21 season is scheduled to begin in October and will include 3 masterworks and 4 pops and family concerts. Sporting Goods store is hiring. Dick's Sporting Goods, which is scheduled to open in August at Midland Park Mall, is now hiring, according to a press release from the national chain. The local store expects to hire about 5 full-time, 30 part-time, and 25 temporary positions, according to the release. For more information, visit dickssportinggoods.jobs. Dick's offers athletic and outdoor apparel, including footwear, team sports gear, and equipment for golf and fitness. First 5 to offer virtual kinder camp. First 5 Permian Basin, which helps families with the transition to kindergarten, plans to offer its annual kinder camp as a virtual event because of coronavirus. There will be separate Midland and Odessa camps, according to a press release. The week-long camp is free to anyone in the community, and supplies will be provided for all the activities. Midland's virtual camp is set for July 27th through the 31st. Odessa's is July 13th through the 17th. First 5 will be using Google Classrooms, which both MISD and ECISD use, to get parents familiar with the setting. Each camp is open to 100 families. At the end of camp, each student will receive a shirt and a backpack with school supplies. Registration is underway. For information on how to register, contact Carla Juarez at juarez_k@utpb.edu or call 381-6069. Opinion Extra. coronavirus should not be a reason to stay away from the polls. Editor Stuart Doran. I must admit I was surprised that early voting for the current election started off so strong. More than 700 people voted in person on each of the first 2 days of early voting. Those are not numbers I would expect from a summertime election with limited numbers of races. For instance, in the primary runoff in 2018, 5,350 votes were cast. At the current pace, the number will be reached before the end of early voting. Eligible voters can cast a ballot for the July 14th election at one of the five locations. July 2nd is the last day to apply for a mail-in ballot. Keep up the intensity, Midland. I appreciate that Midlands are not allowing coronavirus to keep them from voting on the important issues of the day. For a vast majority of eligible voters, the pandemic is a lame excuse for not exercising the right to vote. Anyone who heads to a voting center wearing a mask over their mouth and nose will find the experience is an easy and safe one. I voted on Tuesday, and it was easy and safe. Everyone at the location was wearing a mask. Staff sanitized everything, pens, and voting machines. If a person touched it, the item was wiped down. Volunteers practiced social distancing and offered help if needed. Now appears to be the perfect opportunity to remind Midland County residents that there is no reason for coronavirus to keep them from doing the necessary things in life. We have been told by people such as Dr. Larry Wilson, Chief Medical Officer at Midland Health, that the pandemic doesn't have to hold us hostage. We can still go to the grocery store and other retail shops, eat at a restaurant, take care of medical needs, vote, and do many other things. We are being asked to use common sense when out and about. That, and wash our hands, practice social distance, and wear a mask. This week has been an interesting one. As reported in the Reporter Telegram, the list of places requiring a mask is growing by the day. I appreciate that. It shows businesses are stepping up in the fight against coronavirus. It allows those who want to take part in everyday activities to have one less worry. Show your appreciation for those businesses and encourage others to follow similar practices. Midland County, let's renew our effort to flatten the curve again. And do so while still enjoying the community we care for so much. Obituaries. Albert Melvin Routh. Albert Melvin Routh, age 96, passed away on June 28, 2020, surrounded by his family. Albert was born to Oscar and Betty Miller Routh on June 5, 1924, in Ballinger, Texas. He was a beloved father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-great-grandfather. He married his wife, Marjorie Beebe, in Carlsbad, New Mexico, on October 21, 1951. Following his time in service, Albert worked in the oil and gas industry as a landman. Albert loved hunting, fishing, and football. Graveside services are by Pastor William Carlson. Friday, July 3rd, 2020, 11 a.m., Phillips Cemetery, Dripping Springs, Texas. His family, Albert has joined his beautiful wife, Marjorie Routh, who preceded him in death. He was the proud father and father-in-law of Terry and Susan Routh, Charlotte and Randy Breeley, and K. Ralph. He was a beloved grandfather to 6 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild. The family would like to thank you for your prayers and support during this time, your shared memories, comforting condolences, and gestures of love are truly appreciated. Arnold Arthur Adams. Arnold Arthur Adams, or AAA, 91 of North Richland Hills, Texas, passed away peacefully at home surrounded by his loving family on June 29, 2020. A memorial service will be streamed on Facebook live at 2 p.m. Saturday, July 4th at Crossmark Church with Pastor Billy Parks officiating. A memorial service will be held in Midland in the future. Arnold Adams was born in Melrose, New Mexico to Lewis Halletcher Adams, Allison, and Thurman Hilly Adams on June 17, 1929. He attended Midland High School and Midland College. Arrangements are by Ellis Funeral Home in Midland. Arnold married the love of his life, Kitty Grace Gunter, on September 26, 1950, in Levington, New Mexico. They were married for 59 wonderful years. Arnold's family moved from New Mexico to Midland, Texas, when he was 6 months old. He proudly served in the U.S. Army Air Force. Arnold lived in Midland until he and Kitty married and moved to California, where they lived from 1950 to 1960. After 47 years in Midland, Arnold and Kitty Grace moved from Midland to North Richland Hills in 2007 to be close to their children. When Kitty Grace passed away, Arnold chose to live with his son Mike, his granddaughter Kathleen and her family, and his granddaughter Presley, which brought him great joy. Arnold was preceded in death by his beloved wife, Kitty Gunner Adams, his parents, Thurman Adams and Lois Adams Allison, and stepfather, Clyde Allison, and his brother, Vasco Adams. Arnold is survived by his son, Mike Adams, daughter, Pam Mitchell, and her husband, Ricky, sister, Betty Smith, sister Wanda Bogle Nix, and her husband George, grandsons Christopher Mitchell and his husband Ryan, Michael Mitchell and his wife Leanne, and great-granddaughter Wren, granddaughter Kathleen Wells and her husband Brandon, and great-grandson Hudson and Hunter, and great-granddaughter Presley Adams. Memorials may be made to Crossmark Church, 5408 Davis Boulevard, North Richland Hills, Texas, 76180. Brad Lineman. Brad Harvey Lineman, 50, beloved father, brother, and uncle, passed away on Saturday, June 27, 2020, in Carlsbad, New Mexico. This extraordinary man was deeply loved and will be sorely missed. Brad was born and raised in Odessa, Texas. He majored in business at Southwest Texas State University and carried on the legacy of his family business, Drug Screen Compliance and Lou's Lab, serving the Midland, Odessa community, and beyond. Brad is preceded in death by his parents, Louis and Louise. He is survived by his wife, Misty, his siblings Carol and Stephen, nephew Ryan, nieces Sarah and Elizabeth, great-nephew Jaden, and great-niece Harper. A small service will be held on Friday, July 3rd, 2020 at 9 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens on the grassy area behind the mausoleum. Social distancing and masks are requested by the family to protect several family members that have compromised immune systems. Due to state limits of crowds, we can only have 50 people in the tents, but additional people may stand outside the tent in social distance groups, or you may sit in your car parked around the area, or parking is available in the open area west of the grassy area. And listen on your car radio tuned to FM 104.9. A live stream of the service will be available at www.sunsetodessa.com for those who cannot attend. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Please visit the online guest book to share memories of Brad and condolences for the family. Also at www.sunsetodessa.com. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested memorial contributions to the Salvation Army. Carol Jean Eugene Waddell. Carol Jean Eugene Waddell arrived at the greatest family reunion on Monday, June 29, 2020. He was unique from the very beginning, coming into the world on Leap Day 1940 in Rising Star, Texas. He moved to Midland as a child and attended Midland High School, marrying his high school sweetheart, Edna Mae McBride, in March 1958. Gene is preceded in death by his wife, Edna Waddell, his mother and father, Clifford and Ola Mae Grummelt Waddell, his brother, Darwin, and sister, Billy. He is survived by his children, Cheryl Rockwell and husband, Mark, Clint Waddell and wife, Carrie, and daughter, Carol Waddell Rivas. 6 grandchildren, 5 great-grandsons, and 3 great-granddaughters, as well as his sister, Cindy Thomas. The family will receive guests from 12 to 2 p.m. Thursday, July 2nd, 2020, at Nadley Pickle and Welch Funeral Home in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, July 2nd, 2020, at Nadley Pickle and Wells Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nadley Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Rinalda V. Ramos. Rinalda V. Ramos passed away Monday, June 29, 2020. Visitation was held at the family residence on Wednesday, July 1, 2020. Funeral Mass will be held Thursday, July 2, 2020 at 10 a.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Survivors include her daughters, Cynthia Velasquez, Lisa Valenzuela, sons, Leonardo Ramos Jr., Joe Ramos and Cruz Ramos. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Due to COVID-19, we will be practicing social distancing and face masks are mandatory.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.